Eric showed it to him, and then Piatigorsky thought it was not solistic enough. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, he didn't want the concerto grosso.
I see.
And, but Eric never, ever could change something that he had done. Because when he did something, he worked with great care and really took sometimes for a few bars, maybe 2 or 3 days. And so the idea of changing something that was so carefully weighed out and worked so carefully out was unthinkable to him. So he didn't want to change it. And Piatigorsky loved Eric, but he said, "You are very selfish. Huh? You're thinking only of what pleases you and not what you should do to please me." And he wanted something solistic. And so that was it, and he didn't play it. And the piece was then the first time played at his memorial concert.
By a very good cellist.
Yeah, he played marvelous, Nightcrook, really.
One little thing I noticed in passing is that Eric says that if you perform this work in a large hall, that the cello is to use a microphone. Was this Eric's sole gesture towards electronic music?
No, it was just a gesture towards Piatigorsky, because Piatigorsky complained, and when Nightcrook played it, I could see that he was right, that there were passages that were very difficult for the cellist to play, and yet he would, you know, appear as a figure, and you could not really distinguish it as a solo instrument should be out of. It was like a texture, you know, in which it was one thread.
I see.
And so he suggested that maybe a microphone would rectify the situation.
In the sense, then, Eric was thinking in very contemporary terms the idea of amplifying a soloist.
Oh, he was very intrigued. That I know. He was very intrigued with that idea of electrical music, and I think had he lived, he would certainly have experimented with it. And I can only, you know, guess what would have been the result.
Yes. Now, this will be a subject for a little speculation later, that he seemed to be heading towards the use of American idioms more and using electronic media and means to amplify. And certainly he was extremely contemporary, extremely current in his thought. In 1956 and beyond, we enter the last few years of his life, after the happiness of the 50th birthday. Things, I don't know, maybe he doesn't feel well, but there isn't much time left. And in 1956, he composes a work of a much different kind than anything he's written to this point, the Arrowhead Trio. Once again, nicknames are always intriguing. Perhaps you can tell us how the term Arrowhead came about.
Well, we were very, extremely fond of Lake Arrowhead. And since we both were teachers, we had these wonderful summer vacations. Usually we would rent a cabin up on Lake Arrowhead. And Eric had a student at City College, a huge fellow who was very, very devoted to him, and who would transport the piano up to Arrowhead and bring it. Even, you know, the little cabin that we had in the last 2 years was on a garage, you know, with stairs up. And he would transport single-handed that big piano up. I don't know how he did it, with ropes and zinc, but he was such a tremendously big person, you know, he seemed to do it with one hand. And there Eric composed. And this particular summer, our friend Fritz Kramer came. And, you know, it was one of the things that Eric had, and which sometimes very much hurt him. He was always saying the truth, and when he felt something very strongly, then there was no way of holding him back. And we were there, and it was a very happy reunion, but pretty soon he got very impatient, and he wanted to compose. And the summer was for composing. And he just, you know, as much as told Fritz Kramer, get lost, because I want to. And